Oh, Father, thank you for such thoughts as these, such truths that bless the hearts of your people. And I pray this morning that our hearts are indeed already blessed. I pray, oh, Father, that they began to be blessed when each one walked in the door. And, Lord, that we continue to be so and much, much more so as we contemplate the glory of our God in the face of Jesus Christ. Thank you, O Lord, for this day. Bless it, I pray, in His name. Amen. Yeah. All right, Jason, if you'll come.
Y'all be kind of quiet now. Jerry's listening. He said y'all was making too much racket a while ago. He couldn't decipher one from the other, and that's the reason. Just talk one at a time. Turn with me this morning, 28th chapter, book of Isaiah. This scripture is some more that keeps just jumping out. I think because it's so pertinent to our time. In reading here in the 14th verse, I think, and said, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Said, because ye have said, we've made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement, when the overflowing scourge shall come or pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves." A little pause here. I think a good example of that in our day is that most people, I find, religious people, are claiming that the Lord's going to come back before the tribulation, gather His people up, and they're not going to suffer any harm. And they've promoted that lie until it's even permeated the heathen. They're even thinking also that there's going to be a day coming in. Everything's going to be wonderful. They've also pressed it to the point that when Lord comes back, He's going to save all of Israel that's left. What a lie. And all Israel shall be saved. Don't have a problem with that. But it's the Israel of the Lord. Just like we've been talking about the house. There's the house that Solomon built. Then it was rebuilt again. But it's not the house. It's the house of the Lord. Same way with the people. It's the Lord's people that He's talking about. But they have put that lie forward until most of them really do believe it. They can read otherwise and still just go on believing the same old lie. It's over and over. Keep promoting it. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." We come here not too long ago, I made this statement, they be at rest, be at peace. All this busyness will end if man ever sees a true cornerstone. This cornerstone, the whole building is going to be fit upon it. Every block of it will come together on this one cornerstone. Verse 17, he said, judgment also will I lay to the line, in righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. It's going to be open, wide open, and laid out, just washed away. You ever been by, see where it had just rained and washed all the dirt away, and all the rocks is laying up there exposed? That's what he's talking about here. Going to wipe it away and clean it up. And your covenant with death shall be annulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. I thought of something else when I was looking at this once again. All this idea we got now that no fear. We talked about it some time back. They even put it in the windows on the pickup truck, along with some other things, you know, of cannons. They come get it, come take it, and all this stuff. No fear. And men are so busy today, if the Lord isn't dealing with them, they don't have any fear. They're busy. Even the people that ought not to be doing it are the ones that are the worst. The churches, they're so busy with meddling with the worldly affairs that they can dismiss any fear. It goes back to the verse we just read. They just are so busy at their doing until they can dismiss that fear. But that's going to be taken away. And when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over, and day by day, and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. It's going to be a sudden day. It's coming. And men are still saying it is coming to prevent them from suffering all these things that are coming upon this earth. Well, the first mistake is that people of God are going to be the ones that are suffering, not in the flesh so much, or maybe so, but certainly in the mind. It's already troubling. It's always been troubling to the people of God because of the prophecy that we have, that we can look forward and say, yeah, we're part of this. Why? Because the Lord himself was the greater part of it. The suffering of the things of this world. His own people took him and slew him. He was a stone that the builders rejected. In 1 Kings, the 6th chapter, (clears throat) And then verse 5, and it said, against the wall of the house he built chambers round about. Against the walls of the house round about, both of the temple and of the oracle. And he made chambers round about, and the uttermost chamber was 5 cubits broad. And the middle chamber was 6 broad, and the third was 7 cubits broad. For within the wall of the house he made narrow rest around about, that the beam should not be fastened to the wall of the house. And the house, when it was in the building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither. So that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron head in the house while it was in the building. This is just a little partial description of interior of the building. But the stone that was going to be brought was going to be prepared before it come to the house. You ever heard this saying? I know all the men folks probably have it. Give a man a ball bearing and he can tear it up. Now, I mean, you know, it's almost indestructible, but give it to especially certain people, they can tear up a ball bearing. That's the way man is. He's been given the Word of God. And what has he done? He's polluted it, tore it up. As far as they're concerned, he's ruined it. And this stone that was made ready, the Lord don't want him fooling with it when it gets to the house. It's a perfect stone. It's a precious stone. It's the one that's going to support the whole building. But all the stones thereafter too are to be made perfect. Absolutely perfect. That when they brought them there, they'd fit together and they'd have no chisel in them. It's tried stones, true stones. Man is to be made conformable to the image of the Lord himself. That's what all the perfection in these stones is all about. They're perfect. People would deny that today. Say, oh no, they're not. Couldn't call them saints. They come short of that. But as far as the Holy Ghost is concerned, they're made perfect in Christ. There's a certain perfection there that's beyond man's imagination. He cannot conceive of these things. And what is the problem with men when they deny that is that their conscience is getting in the way.
Right.
And they need to have a little more schooling. Otherwise, they can't come to the fullness. Can't be made perfect. It must be cleansed.
Absolutely.
Not be ashamed.
Right.
Over in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. I guess we'll begin verse 21, 20 and 21. And it said, and the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I have called or talked with you from heaven, and ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold, an altar of earth. Thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, and thy sheep, and thine oxen, in all places where I record my name. I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou wilt make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou wilt lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. I think this is quite similar to what we're looking at about the stones that are being cut out before they come. I said man can mess up anything. He didn't want them hammering on these stones here. Everything man has set his hand to, he has ruined from day one. And that's the reason he don't want to mess with these stones. He don't want to mess up.
He wants God, maybe.
Right. Not one that man had made. He couldn't look under nothing here but what God had made.
Right.
Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. This again is holy ground. They would wear even their skirt all the way down to the ground to completely cover their nakedness. If we look far enough too, we'd see that they had to wash and get clean, and they had to put on clean garments, or else they couldn't come in before the Lord. Not into his house, his holy place.
And big linen so they wouldn't sweat.
Right. White linen.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that's similar to what we're looking at about the building stone there to bring. Once the master craftsman had crafted the stone and set it out for the service of the Lord, and it was to be brought to the house, not worked on anymore.
That's right.
It's been made perfect. So it fits right in to the house. In Joshua, the 8th chapter. And then verse 30, we see that same thing. Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel. Now this is the first thing here we need to notice, is that it's the way the Lord instructed them build it. See, you make it exactly according to the pattern.
Right.
Lord never did build anything that wasn't to the pattern.
Right.
And he gave them the law. That is the pattern. It is a picture of the Lord himself. It is perfect. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man had lifted up an iron, and they offered their own burnt offerings unto the Lord, and sacrificed peace offerings. And he wrote there. He didn't just stop there. He said, and he wrote there up on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. This was to be a testimony to them and against them. Not only did he set the altar up, but he wanted them to see the law, the perfection that is in Christ Jesus, that he had come to fulfill the whole law, every jot and tittle of it. And you put this before the children of Israel, so every time they come to service, it'd be there as a reminder. That do this according to the law. You can't get much better picture of God than that. The perfection that was in the law to the last jot and tittle that he fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he sent him to this earth, the chief cornerstone of the building that would be fit together with perfect stones, one upon another. In Isaiah, the 8th chapter, it's another scripture that often catches my eye. In the 11th verse said, "For the Lord spake thus unto me with a strong hand, and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people." It's still a warning to you and I. For people that would take the word of God and twist it and turn it and mess it up. And in one sense, and I've always said, you can't mess the word up. But give it to man, and he will mess it up. Say ye not a confederacy to all them to whom this people shall say a confederacy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be afraid. Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself. And let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. There isn't anything else. And he shall be for a sanctuary. But there's two things here. One, he'd be a sanctuary some. But he's going to be a stone unto others that crushes and grinds up. But for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel. It didn't leave any of them out, did he? For a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. So what do you do? Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among the disciples. And I will wait upon the Lord that hideth his face from the house of Jacob. And I will look for him, the perfection that is in Jesus Christ. This is our God. He's who we have been waiting for.
they keep trying to do away with the law. And I don't really blame them, because if you can do away with the law, you can do away with the judgment of God. They want God as long as it's convenient for them. But when it comes to the perfection of holiness, the beauty of holiness, don't want that anymore. They think that they can have life without the law. But what God does in giving life, He perfects the law in His people. Not the letter of the law, but the spirit of it. The Apostle Paul covers this in the 8th chapter of Romans, doesn't he? So, we don't want to do away with the law. What we want is the Holy Ghost interpreting and fulfilling the spirit of that law in us. And without that, there is no service to God. The only way that you can serve God is in the spirit of His holiness, which is described completely in His law. So, we rejoice in the whole Word of God. And in reality, the whole Word is the law of God. Those Ten Commandments are just condensing of the beauty of the law of God.
And there's nothing wrong with any one of them. Not one of them.
Not one of them.
I mean, if everybody followed those,
be a perfect world,
wouldn't
it?
Yes, people fight it.
Yeah.
And even those that are Christians will do away with the fourth.
Yeah. That's what old brother E.W. Johnson used to say. I've heard him, and Dorothy and I, of course, together. We've heard him many times. That's what he'd say. Well, what's wrong with loving the Lord with all your heart? And yes, what's wrong with keeping the Sabbath holy? What's wrong with not murdering? What's wrong with not stealing? What's wrong with not coveting? What's wrong with any of them?
Well, if you don't keep the Sabbath, then you have opportunity to get in the world.
That's true. You can watch the Astros or go to the beach or go fishing or, oh goodness, there's so many things that you can do if you don't observe and honor the Sabbath. So, but that is so true, and it's so plain and so simple by these illustrations. And how can you get it more simple, more perfect than that illustration of the stones being cut before they were ever brought to the house? All right, that's good. I love it.